Suvas Perik Ches, Mishnah Vav, 8:6. This Mishnah will talk about the woman who's the Shomeres Yavam, meaning she's waiting through Yibum, which means that her husband died, he had no living descendants at the time of his death, and therefore there's a mitzvah for the widow now to either marry his brother, which is called Yibum, or for them to do this chalitza procedure with taking off of the shoe, and they sort of sever their connection. But until they either do Yibum or chalitza, they are connected and like sort of married. Okay, it's its own category, but they're sort of married. If the Yavam, the surviving brother, she would move in with him and they would live together, then they'd be married automatically, and it's like the marriage continues on, and there's never any ksuba payments, and he just becomes her heir, like as if steps into his brother's shoes and becomes the husband. If chalitza is done, so then he's never anybody at that point, and she's her own woman. At that point, the ksuba payment would happen. Now, if you recall back, we have a couple issues that we'll discuss in our Mishnah. The first issue is, may she dispose of her nechse melug while she's in this Shomeres Yavam state? And the second will be, if she dies while she's a Shomeres Yavam, then who inherits her? So let's take those two, each one in their own time. First, I'll talk about if she's allowed to sell her nechse melug while she's a Shomeres Yavam. So what does that mean? So you recall back to the first Mishnah of the Perek, 8:1. We had a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether a woman who is an arusa, meaning she is not yet a nesua, not yet fully married, but she's an arusa, she's already done step one of marriage, may she dispose of, by selling or giving away, her nechse melug, her property. So Beis Shammai said, of course she can. What's the problem? The husband's rights to her nechse melug only kick in once nesuin, part two of marriage. Until then, he has no rights whatsoever. So what's the problem? She can sell her stuff if she wants to, and she's not messing him up. He has no rights to it. Beis Hillel disagreed, and Beis Hillel said, well, it's technically true that he has no rights currently, and therefore Beis Hillel agreed that if she did sell or give away her nechse melug, it's gone. He can't get it back. But that it's, these are my words now, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do for her to go and sell or give away her nechse melug because he's about to become her husband, and he's sort of expecting, and that was part of the package, he's going to get her nechse melug, at least the peros, the output of the nechse melug, and therefore it's not right for her to sell or give it away, since that's what he's expecting, that was part of the deal, and therefore Beis Hillel said she ought not to sell or give it away, but he agrees that if she does, then it's gone, because he hasn't got any claims on it yet. we want to analogize that case, compare that case to the case of a woman who is a Shomeres Yavam. Here too, she has Nechse Melug, it's hers. There is a husband waiting to be, that will require, instead of Chuppah, in the case of going from Erusin to Nesuin, it here requires them just sleeping together, so that's Yibum. But the point is, she's in a similar case. She's waiting to become a married woman. There is a husband who's going to be at that point, once the marriage is consummated, he becomes the one who has rights to the peros, the output of her nechse melug. But in the meantime, no one has those legal rights. So it seems very similar. The question is, therefore, may she sell or give away her nechse melug prior to the Yavam doing Yibum? So the answer is that yes, she may. And the Mishnah says inside, Shomeres Yavam, a woman who's waiting to do Yibum, shenaflu la nechasim, if while she's waiting, she ends up getting property, either by inheritance, or she finds it, or someone gives it to her, then modem Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel. In such a scenario, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree, meaning Beis Hillel agree to Beis Shammai, that shomocheres v'nosenes, she's allowed to, within her rights, to sell that property or to give it away, v'kayam, and that a gift or sale is binding, and he, the Yavam, can't get it back. The reason why is because Beis Shammai is consistent. He says in both cases, since he has no claim, neither the Arus, the future husband, nor the Yavam, the future husband, has any claims currently, so he can't, so why can't she give it away? In this case here, Beis Hillel, who in the case of the Arus, who's waiting to become the husband proper, he at least had expectations, therefore it's kind of not right, if you will, because that was part of the deal. There's no such deal that happened, no reasonable expectations on the part of the Yavam, because it's not her husband yet. She never agreed, they never agreed to anything. She just ended up, because of whatever circumstances, ended up falling to him as like a potential wife, but there's no marriage yet, and therefore there's no problem with her giving or selling her stuff away now, even according to Beis Hillel. That's the first part of her Mishnah, like, so almost stands alone. The second part of her Mishnah is, if the woman, before having Yibum or Chalitza, dies, who inherits her stuff? Meaning, who gets the Ksuba payments, etc.? So now, let's just clarify. First of all, when we say talk about the Ksuba, there are these four components, okay, to what she has. There's 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, as I call it. So the 1A and 1B talk about the cash payment, 1A being the Iker Ksuba, the promise of those 200 Zuz. The 1B is, in the Ksuba, we've written perhaps the Tosefes, the extra part of the Ksuba, which is in addition to, let's say, the 200 skinnings, let's say 800 more for 1,000 total. So 1A and 1B together is 1,000, that's cash payment. And then the second category, 2A, 2B, talks about stuff. So 2A is her Nechse Tzon Barzel. That's property that she brought into the marriage. It's written in the Ksuba, and it says, she brought in this flock of sheep, but it was appraised to be worth $10,000. And in the event of death or divorce, she'll be paid out $10,000. But the sheep become, you know, the husband's. That's Tzon Barzel. And that is written into the Ksuba. That's 2A, if you will. Category 2B is her Nechse Malug. This is her property, and it always was and remains her property throughout. So therefore, it's not written in the Ksuba anything. Just that while they're married, the husband has rights to make use of the output of her Nechse Malug, of her you know, 2B, if you will, property. So we have to discuss all four of those categories, who inherits her in the event of her dying prior to Yibum occurring, the Shomeres Yavam. So, make sure you know the base case. The base case, let's say a woman, when a woman dies, who inherits her? So if she's married, so then her husband inherits everything. If she's not married, so then her side of the family inherits everything. If she has children, the children get it. If she just has no children, her father gets it, and so on. You know, a little bit of a complicated story how it works out, but the point is, her side of the family, her children or her father, get it. Now, in the case of the Shomeres Yavam, so we have a bit of a tug-of-war here. On the one hand, she wasn't married when she died, and therefore her side of the her family tree, let's call it, will say, since she wasn't married, we should get it. On the other hand, we'll call it his family tree, her late husband's family tree, and now his brother, the Yavam, will say, well, you know, technically we weren't married yet because we were waiting to do Yibum, but it was just a formality. We were going to do Yibum, and therefore she already had a Zika to me. She was like attached to me. She couldn't marry anybody else. We were like, it was a marriage waiting to happen. And therefore, although it hadn't happened yet, it was waiting to happen, and therefore I should be like the husband and I should inherit. That's like, so there's sort of a tug of war over who should get it. You know, an abstract, theoretical tug of war between, I'll call it his family tree, the late husband, and now the living Yavam, and her family tree, we'll call it her children or her father, etc. The way that the Mishnah refers to those two parties, the two family trees, if you will, are referred to in the Mishnah as Yorshei Ha'av, the heirs of the father. That's her family tree, meaning her father, and the heirs associated there. And the other side is Yorshei Ha'ba'al, the heirs of the husband, which is, I'll call it his family tree. Okay? So the question is, how do we divide up her various ksuba payments and her nechse malug, which weren't written in the ksuba, in the event that she dies while she is a shomeres yava. Okay, so the Mishnah starts out by saying that if mesa, if she dies, meaning if she had been married and then her husband died, but left her as a shomeres yavam, waiting to the yibum, meanwhile, which means at that moment, while she's a shomeres yavam, there is no payments that are made to her from her ksuba. Neither the 1A, 1B, the Iker ksuba or Tosef's ksuba, didn't get paid yet, because if Yibum happens, so then it's no payment that comes to her. She just becomes married to the second husband, if you will, the Yavam, the brother, her brother-in-law, and then her ksuba continues on, but until he dies, she doesn't get any payment. Same goes with the Tzon Barzel, the next Tzon Barzel, which is written in the ksuba. Again, if he does Yibum, there's no payment to her. The Nechze Malug, on the other hand, always was hers. It never wasn't hers. So while she was married to her husband, then he had rights to the output of that. But now she's not married to anybody. So at the minute, the Yavam has no rights to anything, right? He will have rights when he gets married, but in the meantime, he has no rights to anything, which is exactly why she's allowed to give that stuff away now if she wants to, and it's binding. So if while she's in the status of waiting to do Yibum, Mesa, she dies. So now who inherits her stuff? Ma yasu b'ksubasa, says the Mishnah rhetorically. What do we do with her ksuba? By which we mean 1a and 1b, the ikr ksuba and the tsef ksuba, as well as 2a, the nechse malug payment. And in addition, uve nechasim hanechnasim v'hayotzim ima. And also, what do we do with the 2b category, meaning the nechse malug, that the property that goes in and out with her, as the Mishnah calls it, meaning it always was hers, and it had been at the output was at the disposal of the husband, but now the husband's dead. So now it's back to being just hers. There's no other claimant on it. So what do we do with all these different components? So, Beis Shammai speaks first, as always, and he argues on one particular point, which is talking about, when he says the sentence, he's talking about Nechse Malug. That's very important. Get out your pencil, write into your Mishnah, if you will. Beis Shammai is just opining on the Nechse Malug. Who gets that? He'll agree with Beis Hillel on the other components. So as far as Nechse Malug goes, says Beis Shammai, Yachloku Yorshe Habal im Yorshe Av. They divided up 50-50 between his side of his family tree and her family tree. Why would that be the case? Because it's indeterminate to whom it belongs. Well, what I mean by that is this. While she's a Shomeres Yavam, on the one hand, she's not an unmarried woman. And therefore, the stuff isn't the Nechse Malug. Remember, if she would die while she's married, her Nechse Malug goes to her husband. Okay? If she dies when she's not married, her Nechse Malug goes to her, you know, her family tree. Now, this woman is a Shomeres Yavam. She's like, if you're familiar with, you know, Schrodinger's cat, she's like Schrodinger's cat. She's sort of, yes, married and not married at the same time. It all depends on if they do Yibum. If they do Yibum, then she's married, and that's the husband is the husband. If she doesn't do Yibum, so then she's not married, and it goes to, her family tree inherit the Nechse Malug. The problem is, we're in the middle here. She hasn't not been married through Chalitza, and she hasn't yet been married through Yibum, so she's in the middle, and therefore both sides, her family tree and his family tree, are claiming. And in a situation where two parties are claiming something, neither one's a muchzik, neither one holds into anything, it's just sort of in the air who to whom it belongs. Like if you and I are walking down the street and both of us see, you know, a ring on the floor, and each one of us claim we saw it first, each one of us claim therefore we should get it, and neither one is holding it, if you go to Bez and they'll say, listen, split the value because we don't know to whom to give it. So same here, that's called Maman Amutal B'Safak. If you have money, which we don't know to whom to give it, then we do Yachaloku, we divide it 50-50. That's the case over here, says Beis Shammai. We don't know, it's a Safak. We don't know if the marriage would have ended up in a Yibum or a Chalitza. We just don't know because she's dead now. And therefore, it's Mutal B'Safak, the money, the Nechse Malug is in question mark. And therefore, we divide it Yachaloku 50-50. U'Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel disagree with that. So now, get out your pencil again. The first thing it says, Nechasim, when Beis Hillel talk about Nechasim, her property, they're actually not talking about the Nechse Tzon Barzel, but rather the When Beis Hillel start talking about Nechasim, they're not talking about the Nechse Malug that Beis Shammai was talking about. They're talking about Nechse Tzon Barzel first. And they say, the Nechse Tzon Barzel, Bechez Kasan. It stays put with the people who are currently muchzik, the people who are currently legally holding it, if you will. It stays in its status quo. We don't move it out from who already has it. Now, that's the Tzon Barzel. So now the problem is, it's not clear at all who is the muchzik. When we say it stays put in whose pocket? We're talking about the $1,000, I think it was a $10,000 payment she's supposed to get for the flock of sheep she brought in. So, on the one hand, so what does it mean to say it stays put where it is? Where is it? Where is that? Who is the muchzak? Who holds that now? Where's the status quo? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra which seems to have machlokas amaraim three ways. One, and it seems to be applicable over here as well, the same idea. Meaning, one opinion is that since there was no time during her life where she could demand that $10,000, and now she's dead, so there was never a time when she could demand the $10,000, so the status quo, the muchzuk, the place where it stays, is with the husband, his side of the family tree. So there's no payment. They keep that tzon barzel payment for themselves, the $10,000. On the other hand, the chazaka, the muchzuk status quo is like, well, who was the last person to own this flock of sheep? It was her. Right? She brought the flock of sheep in. It was exchanged for a promise of $10,000. So like, she's the last one holding the sheep. She handed it over to him, but only in exchange for that. So now that means she's the muchzuk. She should be getting it. So in the event that she dies, so then the people who like had the last claim on it, the ikker claim on it, should be her side of the family and should go to them. That's the second opinion of the Amoraim. And the third opinion of the Amoraim is, we're not sure who the muchzik is, and therefore Yachloka, we split it 50-50. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch ends up ruling like that third opinion, meaning when we say here Nechasim Bechazkasan, when it stays, Nechasim stay where they, in their status quo, the Shulchan Aruch rules, that means we don't know what that is, and therefore we divide it, the Nechzei Tzon Barzel payment, 50-50. Half goes to his family tree, half goes to her family tree. Tosfos understands that Gemara Bava Basra is not applicable over here. He says Bechezkasan certainly must refer to his family tree, because at no time during her life could she ever get that payment. So now she's dead, so that means it was last seen in his. He held the rights to it, and therefore he should get it all. So Tosfos learns Bechezkasan means that all, like the Nechzei Tzon Barzel, and the goes to his side of the family, his family tree. And that's how the Ramah paskin. So Machlokas Machaber Marah on what this actually means, the halacha. By the way, usually I say the halacha to the end, but since I had to say it over here anyways, I should just speak out. Really, halacha lamaisa lamaisa, this whole question is predicated, the whole mission here is predicated on the fact that we just don't know what was going to happen. Were they going to get married through Yibam, or they're not through Chalitza? We don't know, and therefore splitting things 50-50. In any time and place where we know for sure there will not be a Yibam, only a Chalitza, which is everywhere nowadays, therefore there's no such suffix, and therefore for sure there was never going to be a marriage, and therefore for sure it should go to her family tree. So really, although it's a machlokas machaber ramah on the point I just said, and the pshat here in the Mishnah, how we'd rule, I'm in real practice, since there is no possibility of Yibam, therefore there's no suffix, and therefore for sure should go to her family tree. Fine. Now, uksuva, says the Mishnah further. Again, we have these, you know, four components to consider. Beis Hillel had spoken about what I'll call 2a a moment ago, the Nechzei Tzon Barzel. Now he's going back to uksuva, the ksuva payment, by which he means 1a and 1b, the ikar ksuva and the tosefes, the cash payment. That's Bechezkas Yorzei Habal. That stays in the hands of, you know, his family tree. No one's going to pay that out, because that payment was a cash payment predicated on her being widowed or divorced, and it never kicked in because she wouldn't get paid out until Chalitza happened. Chalitza didn't happen, so it stays put, and therefore it never gets paid to her. They keep it. And as far as Nechasim HaNechnasim VaYotzim Ima, as far as the property that goes in and out with her, meaning her property that isn't written in the Ksuba, this is totally synonymous with the term Nechse Malug, her usufruct property, her property, since it always was hers and never was his, then, according to Beis Hillel, Becheskas Yorshea Av, that goes with her family tree, because that's, it always was from her side of the family and never transferred over ever to her husband. So, of course, in the event that she dies, as Shomer Yavam, she gets it back. This is the point on which Beis Shammai was disagreeing and saying they should split it 50-50, but Halach has certainly been like Beis Hillel, and therefore, as far as the Nechzei Malug goes, it all goes to her family tree, meaning to her children if she has from another marriage, or to her father, etc.